following program is brought to you by your friends at TheForce.net.
Oh, Maxi bit the Force.
And RebelScum.com.
You Rebel Scum.
The galaxy is listening.
Who need that? No, no, no. Alawa. Who need that?
Welcome to the Forcecast, your weekly dose of Star Wars news and much more.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe. I suggest we use it.
All systems have been alerted to your presence, sir.
Check it out, Corporal.
Roger, roger.
Now, your hosts of the Forcecast, Jason and Pete.
We would be honored if you would join us.
And it is an honor to be here for the Forcecast. This week's episode for September 14th. Is that where we are?
We are at September 14th.
2007, but it's kind of confusing because it's not really the 14th.
We only just pretend.
Right. If you're joining us live via TalkShoe, welcome. Thank you for being here. It's kind of another grab bag week of news, but we'll do our best to get through.
Well, you know, until we get something really amazing announced. Well,
we do have something amazing tonight.
We do have something
amazing.
But it's
amazing, not
the news. But it's not announced.
That's right.
You know, we're going to be kind of picking hodgepodge stories, but
that's right.
That's what makes something fun.
That's right. Well, and that's kind of what TheForce.net is. And we are the official podcast of TheForce.net and RebelScum.com. Happy to be so, and happy that you've invited us into your life with your iPod or on the computer or via TalkShoe. My name is Jason, and with me, as always, my best buddy in the whole wide world, Pete.
I'm happy to be here.
And yes, we've kind of teased the folks that have joined us live, said we have a really special guest. We haven't pre-announced this or anything, but it's time to introduce the director of Fanboys and Star Wars fanatic, Ben Quadraneros hater, Kyle Newman. Kyle, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Who's the special guest?
Come on now. You.
I was hoping to be Billy D.
Well,
that's,
you know,
a possibility.
You got a real problem.
So just back off, man. Okay.
Oh yeah, you blew it.
I did. I know.
No,
I know.
That's all right.
But it just lends itself so.
It
well.
Does. It works out so well.
Yeah, we get these
Toussaint.
The wisdom.
Right. Well, we get these sound clips from Jimmy, and you know, Jimmy says, "Okay, now here's where you guys should play these, and here's where you shouldn't, and all that." And so we blew our wad.
You always go with shouldn't.
But you can't ever get sick of hearing it.
You got a real problem. So,
it never gets old. Well, we want to thank our official sponsor, again, the aptly named Official Picks. They are your source for the best Star Wars autographs and photographs. And, of course, a fantastic vendor to deal with. The most organized part of Celebration 4, 3 and 4 by far. Kyle, did you have a chance to romp through the official booth or official picks area at Celebration 4?
Oh yeah, it was great.
Yeah,
so many people there, so well organized. It's like it's even if you didn't buy an autograph, it's fun to walk through and see everybody in their little booths with their name tags.
Right.
It was like the zoo of Star Wars celebrities.
Is it still
any little cage?
Is it still exciting for you, even though, I mean, you've worked up close and personal? My gosh, for a period of time, you were Carrie Fisher's boss.
Yeah, that's kind of strange to think about that. But it's still like I'm just such a huge Star Wars fan. Anytime I meet anybody affiliated with it, I feel like I can talk for hours with them. So
wow, well, that's very, very cool. So right now, speaking of Carrie Fisher, how about a personalized Luke Skywalker and Princess Leia? This officially licensed autograph. It's on one of the four official picks photos. They're taking pre-orders for these personalized autographs for both Mark Hamill and Carrie Fisher. Their private signings are going to happen in late October 2007, so it's kind of like a first-come, first-serve type thing. So if you didn't get a chance to meet Carrie Fisher at Celebration 4, or if you didn't get over to Celebration Europe and see Mark Hamill in person, which I didn't, you know, I just wanted to make that clear. I didn't get to see Mark Hamill. You can do that through official picks. Samuel L. Jackson and James Earl Jones autographs are back in stock. And there's a back-to-school sale on the 16 by 20-inch photos. And all kinds of stuff. You just got to go over and check it out at officialpicks.com. Normally, we don't have a lot to say, but they got all kinds of news.
Today was a huge update.
Yeah, right. So check them out. Officialpicks.com. That's picks with an X.com. Thanks to them, they make this show possible. If you are listening live on TalkShoe, you can give us a call. Get in the queue to call. Kyle has graciously agreed to accept some questions, so we'll try to burn through some of these news items so we have time to take your calls towards the end of the show and ask your questions to Kyle. So that number to call, by the way, is 724-444-7444. The talk
Bring
shoe,
them, people. I want good questions.
the talk shoe ID is 46670. And this is very cool. This is the first week that you don't actually have to be a talk shoe member to call in. So if you're within the sound of our voices, give us a call. 724-444-7444. Talk shoe ID 46670. So, all right, Kyle. We know, of course, that you're not a big fan of Ben Quadraneros. Where do you come down on the CO Bibble?
He ranks a little above Ben's brother Phil Quadraneros,
the lesser known Quadraneros
manager / failed racing brother.
It's outrageous.
Well.
You know, I don't mind Seal Bibble as much. He had a very Wizard of Oz haircut.
That's a horse of a different color.
A little extravagant with the puppy shoulders.
Hey, you know, it's just a different era, you know?
In case you fall in space, you're safe. But, I don't mind Seal Bibble. Rick Oley, he's okay, too.
Oh, so you know what? We got an email from one of our listeners that said, okay, enough of the CEO Bibble. What about Rick Oley? He's terrible.
The stater of the obvious. As
yeah,
he's been,
right.
Been
called him Mr. Obvious.
Yes. Shield generator's been hit.
But anyway,
the thing with Rick Oley was they made such a huge deal out of him. He was like one of the special figures, and
that's right,
one of the first out. And then I feel bad for the guy; they probably cut his screen time down.
He was one of the first trading cards, yeah.
Pilot mentor.
That's true.
I mean, I think that's what I originally heard. He was supposed to be the guy who taught Anakin how to fly.
Ah.
Well, he did kind of go, yes, and that's where that is, and that's where this is.
Right. And that controls the pitch. You're catching on pretty quick. Thank you very much. I'm out of here. So, but anyway, we were talking about CO Bibble, and the whole that's outrageous, that's unthinkable. I got it confused. I thought that was from episode one. It's not from episode one. In episode one, it can only mean one thing. Invasion. So somehow it came up last week about the Comtech chip, and I said, well, I need to go back and listen to my Comtech chip. Jimmy Mack to the rescue. Here are the clips from the CO Bibble Comtech chip for your amusement.
How will you explain its invasion to the Senate?
All right, I'm going to go on a limb and say that this guy is a slightly better actor than the real CO Bibble.
What it do you sounds like it's speak and, speak and say.
Stephen Hawking?
All right, what else did he say?
This invasion will gain you nothing.
What was that?
Hasbro hired him to do all the chips.
Let's see what this one was.
This invasion will gain you nothing.
Okay.
That was strong.
Yeah, really strong. Let's see, what's this one here?
A communications disruption can mean only one thing, invasion.
Oh,
there it is.
I tell you what, man, the technology for these toys have come a long way. And this sounds horrible. But I remember when, getting them, I'm like, this is awesome.
This is amazing.
My figures talk. So anyway, enough of that. But we did want to play this one little bit in deference to CO Bibble, because I know that we're probably irritating somebody with our making fun of a little bit, or poking fun of CO Bibble, much like we got an email about our abuse, as they called it, of Ewan McGregor, which, that happens. But here it is from Jimmy Mack, CO Bibble.
It's unthinkable.
We have to say thank you to Jay, our own Jovial Jay Shepherd.
Oh,
he was the inspiration behind that clip. So,
well, thank you, Jay. All right, now we move on to episode 3. We got to give a big happy birthday shout out to Bruce Spence. Happy birthday, otherwise known as Teon Medon. Let's hear a little bit of Teon.
Greetings, young Jedi. what brings you to our remote sanctuary?
I think I came up to Bruce Spence's belt buckle.
He is a tall, thin man.
He is a very large man.
He was great
in that role. And it's probably Kyle, as a director, I mean, when you're looking to cast a certain like an alien or something like that, I mean, you're gonna find these kind of goldmine actors, like somebody like a Bruce Spence, that, you know, and no offense to him, but he's very unique looking. He's got the frame. So I imagine that you know, character actors like that are kind of tough to come by.
Absolutely. You look for that, and then there's people that they love it. They know what their specialty is, and they embrace it, you know, because not everyone is a leading person. There's some people that are just, you know, even well-known actors that made great careers just being character actors.
That's right.
There's like quirky or unique about them, and he's got to embrace it, you know.
And I think he admits that that he oftentimes gets jobs just because he fits in the suit,
right?
You know, for whatever creature it tends to be. So
it seems like there's a lot of that in Star Wars. Like, you fit the outfit.
Yeah, that's true. We've heard a lot of those stories in some of the behind the scenes and the making of books and video diaries and all that. That's kind of, I mean, who was it that was just plucked from the construction crew? I read on the set of Episode 2, I believe it was.
Oh, it was the Jensen brothers.
Right, the Jensen brothers, exactly. And they fit the bill. While we're giving some birthday shout-outs, we want to say happy birthday to Philip Wise. He's kind of, the grand poobah of the Force.net, RebelScum.com, and Official Pick. So happy birthday, Philip. Great example of a fantastic contributor to the Star Wars fan community, no doubt about it. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
There you got it from director Kyle Newman. It doesn't get much better. So Star Wars Kids, Pete, tell me about this. What's going on?
Well, this is something I wanted to mention, and I feel remiss because I haven't done it before that, because back to school time is upon us, unfortunately. This was always the worst time of year for me. Like, in mid July/August, when they would start stocking the shelves with like school supplies, I that was like the instant depression for me, because I hated going to school. But how do you make school cool? Well, you can go over to StarWars.com and go into the kids' activities, and they have great book covers that you can make. And they're designed by Katie Cook and the great Grant Gould.
Oh, excellent.
And you can cut them out and you can print them out. And I took my nieces to Walmart the other day because I had to pick them up.
Oh, I bet it was a big sacrifice for you to go to Walmart.
I got to go to Walmart. And she kept saying, I have to get a book cover. And I had this, I had seen this, so I kept thinking, well, I know where you can get some really cool book covers. And she's like, here's one for 30 cents that I can buy. No, no, no. I know where we can get the really cool ones. So I spent a lot of time convincing her. I didn't. She said 30 cents is fine. I lost out. But
and she said, Uncle Pete, you're lame.
Yes, you are so lame. But if you go over, they're great covers, and they're really cool designs.
She wanted the Bratz
they're
book
really
cover.
Cool.
Yeah. So you know, there's you know, pretty much something for everyone. If you're a Yoda or an Anakin or Darth Maul, of course that would be my favorite. So
Bikini Jawa wanted top shelf.
So, you know, make sure you head on over there and check those out. If you do have kids and you're looking for something to do, Bonnie Burton and the crew over there, they do a great job of putting together a lot of different crafts and just fun little things that you can do on a rainy day, you know. And
that's right.
I would have loved to do some of this stuff when I was a younger kid, but now I do it because I love it, because I'm an older kid and I'm late.
And nothing's better than those rainy, total geek out days when you don't have, you know, you don't have to mow the lawn, you don't have any, you know, responsibility. I had one of those last weekend. My wife went out of town, and it was just whatever I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I won't talk about exactly what I did, but, you know, it was just whatever I wanted.
You got a problem.
That's right.
You got a real problem.
Yes, I do, Billy D, but I'm sure you could appreciate that. And there's actually a lot of animated Yoda style, and, you know, I've got that thing,
love it.
Animated Yoda. So, the Force Cast Fantasy Football League, Pete, what,
yes.
Bring us up to speed. What's
well,
wrong with that?
I have to say and tell everyone that there was an overwhelmingly blasé performance by the Absolutely Shenanigans, but we managed to pull it out, I think, only because Brad felt bad for me, and he was like, I can't beat him on the first week after he went out and, you know, made a whole big deal about it. He think he felt sorry for me, so he let me win because, you know, that's the thing. But it was a great first week, and, you know, the big game of the week, Mike Barrick versus Mick Chelly. 1 point. A 1 point victory for Mike Barrick. So I know that's got to have Mick and the iLobot Wranglers. I just made that up. and ready to tomp it down. But the top scorer for the week, Sandra Stolte.
Right.
Mrs. Schwa.
Oh, Mrs. Schwa.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She had the highest point total of the week. So congratulations to her. And she beat
now, does
up
she actually know about football?
Yeah.
Or is she like what they do with me? I'm the guy that they put in that knows nothing to see, you know, if there's actually
and
strategy
say,
to this.
Hey, pick this, and then they laugh.
Right.
Yeah. No, she
I'm the guy with the video camera recording this season.
yes, that's my strategy for next week.
On the Jets.
Are you a football fan, Kyle?
An English football fan.
Oh, really?
Oh, no, I'm a big soccer fan.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
If it goes to baseball, it's definitely the Red Sox.
All right. Oh. All right.
Well, I don't like the Yankees.
So, as a soccer fan, what do the both of you do when American football is on?
No, I get it. Strange enough, I wake up sometimes. It's probably the thing I'm second most passionate about is soccer. As like a fan, I wake up sometimes at 4 in the morning on Saturdays, and I watch the games live from England.
Oh, wow. Man, that is dedication.
That is dedication.
Yeah, I'm pretty obsessed with it. But I appreciate all sports. You know, with the games on, I can get into it.
So if you appreciate all sports, do you realize the torture that is our lives being here in Northeast Ohio and being a Cleveland sports fan?
It's tough. For a while, it was tough to be a Red Sox fan.
That's true. But you've broken through that now. Yeah, it'll happen.
We do have LeBron, and the Indians are doing pretty well right now.
Yeah.
So we're okay. But the Browns, I mean, I'm not even, I don't even know
football
enough.
Football will always be king in Northeast Ohio. So no matter how great all the other teams are doing, people will always be calling the radio shows and going.
Isn't college football big there, too?
Yes. Ohio State.
Yes. And
you guys
alma mater.
Have a good college football team.
Yeah.
There, thank you.
Yes.
Okay. We've got that.
So we're good. But anyway, getting back to fantasy football, and I can't do it justice on the air, but if you want some very entertaining reading, head over to the forums and check out Mick Chelly's rundown each week of the matchups.
They are good. They're
and the
good.
Current lines. The game of the week, as he has chosen it, myself, the Shenanigans versus Mike Barrick and Spaceball 1.
you know,
again, I'm going to go out on a limb and tell him I'm going to stomp him.
Oh,
just because, again, I unabashedly will do that. Mm-hmm. So it's quite possible that I might not be talking about it next week. But it's been a lot of fun so far, and I can't wait till we get a chance to go through and crown the champion.
Right. Right. All right. Speaking of champions, we have the champion of all wisdom and all great advice. And it's very cool that we have Kyle here this week because Kyle has worked with Billy D in the production of Fanboys. And, you know, when I saw him at Celebration 4, he was so laid back and so cool. I mean, you know, there were people asking him about like race relations and stuff. And he's like, man, I don't have time for that. I don't live in that world. I don't even think about that stuff. Kyle, is he really like that?
He's very chill. He's very laid back. And like, he's, you know, I'm talking about things like painting and certain topics. He just keeps going. Certain things, he just doesn't have the time for it. So,
yeah.
But you know, one time there's a reference in our movie to Judge Reinhold.
Okay.
And he didn't even know who Judge Reinhold was. I was like, no, he's an actor from the 80s. He's in Beverly Hills Cop. He's like, I didn't see that. So he definitely lives in his own world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. He'd be one of those guys that I'd like to just spend a weekend with him just to see what he does. Yeah. You know, I just
one of the few people on the planet where like sometimes there's certain people that are so charismatic the world kind of revolves around them and it's okay.
Yeah, right.
Kind of like that. Like he's just
in other words, it's Billy
out life. He's
yeah. And it's Billy D's world and we just live in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, speaking of Billy Dee, he is, of course, Toussaint on the General Hospital spinoff on SoapNet. And I've been corrected. I thought that the show was not doing well. Jimmy Mack has stated he's seen written evidence that the show's doing actually quite well, and it's a big hit for SoapNet, and it'll probably come back next year as a they'll run this in the summers. So it's going to be one of those summer shows. So here he is, Billy Dee, once again as the character Toussaint from Night Shift.
Angel of mercy, I kneel before you. I'm naked. Metaphorically naked, with heart unguarded, to propose a date, an evening that will live on in memory. Drinks, dinner, video games.
Video games?
Dr. Frank.
Yeah. She will be mine once she sees my prowess with a joystick.
The words should go through your brain before they go through your mouth.
Right. Sage advice.
You got a real problem.
I've got to start watching that.
He took the words right out of my mouth. I mean, this guy from last week, the clown guy. I mean, you know,
maybe your clown needs a friend.
And now we got it. You know, he finally just put it to the guy. You know, just point blank.
You got a real problem.
That's all there is to it.
What was his quote about the oracle?
Well, he's not an oracle, but he can tell something. I forget what the quote was.
You're going to make your grandma real proud.
You know what, though? I have to say, even though, again, the dialogue is not the greatest in the world, I believe him.
Oh, yeah.
When I hear him say this stuff, yeah, I totally buy in.
Oh, he's a thoroughly convincing actor. He's great in everything he's been in.
Kyle, have you ever seen some of the clips that he did for his own website where he's kind of just looking at the camera and he's sitting there sort of dining with an imaginary person?
Yeah.
You ever seen that? It's beautiful.
Did Scott Chernoff do those too?
I don't I'm not sure. I know that I think they did a parody of it on Jimmy Kimmel. And so they did kind of spoofed it, but Billy Dee, you know what? They asked him about it in the press conference and he goes, "You know what? I just think that there's some ladies that need to be talked to like ladies." It's like, all right. Can't argue with that. Okay.
All right.
So anyway, that's Billy Dee, sage advice from Billy Dee. And we've got a little bit of indie news. Actually, big indie news coming right up. I was not watching the MTV Video Awards, I have to confess. I know you were.
I unfortunately was. I had to watch it because...
You're a woman.
Yeah. Well, the whole Britney Spears thing.
Right.
You know, her big return. It was big. Now, that's about all I can say.
The news was Shia changed his name, so now it's easier for Pete to pronounce it. Now his name is Shia LaBeouf. You can pronounce it wrong 500 different ways.
Yes, exactly.
That's when you know it's a bad name for entertainment industry.
Why did your parents hate you so much, Shia? Well, I'm sure that it's probably a family name. It has it certainly has a ring of ethnic you know, tradition behind it. So who am I? I mean, I'm boring. I'm Jason. I mean, that's I mean, it's not even spelled in a cool way, like J-A-Y-S-E-N or J apostrophe C-E-N or something. It's J-A-S-O-N. And Pete, I mean, come
hey,
on.
Hey, listen, I had to suffer with that name, so you can just leave that one alone.
What about Steve LaBeouf?
Yes. Charles LaBeouf.
A little easier for us.
You know what? If he was like a 50s actor, they'd have to change his name.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, here's the problem. No one knows about Shia. No one cares about Shia.
Everybody likes Robert Jones, and that's what you'll be.
Yeah, but, exactly. Natalie Portman.
Right.
But, you know, he's going to be around forever. He's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to admit, Transformers passed me by, man. I had a rough summer, and I didn't get out to the cinema much at all, but I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see what Shia can do. What's the other movie that he did fairly recently?
Disturbia.
Yeah. Haven't seen that either. Is it worth getting, Kyle?
I saw both of them, and he was impressive in both.
Excellent.
The Transformers, the effects were phenomenal. The story was hit or miss sometimes, but I thoroughly had a great time watching it, and he carried the whole movie. You know, it's a tough thing to do when you have a $100 million movie on this.
Especially, budget. Yeah, especially when you're not really the main character. I mean, it's about robots.
Yeah.
You know, basically, but, you know, when you're good, yeah. You're good.
The pixels are the main character. but actually, it's clear that Spielberg has a lot of respect for him because he did give him the opportunity to announce something really big. Here it is. If you missed it on the MTV Video Awards, no, it's not Britney Spears. It's Shia LaBeouf. Shy. Here it is.
So I've been sworn to secrecy by Steven Spielberg and George Lucas not to tell you the title of the next Indiana Jones movie. What the hell? I'm 21 and we're in Vegas, baby, so here it goes. This is the first time it's ever been heard. The official title to the next Indiana Jones installment is Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. It's a big deal. Nobody's ever heard of it before.
Now, when he said that and he laughed like that, I thought I didn't think it was real.
I thought it was Ewan McGregor there for a minute.
I didn't think it was really going to be the title. But, especially because we had heard so much speculation about some of the other names, and this one hadn't come up as much. So
right. Well, it's been confirmed.
This is it.
The press release from Lucasfilm says the title of the new Indiana Jones adventure, now in production under direction of Steven Spielberg, is indeed Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. So... what do we know so far?
Well, MTV.com had run a really cool article just recently regarding a Harvard lecturer by the name of Mark Zender, who is an archaeologist. And he kind of gave some background about the Crystal Skull and what it was. And I'll just read some of it for you. He says, it is said that when the high priest of the Maya willed death with the help of the skull, death invariably followed. For anyone who believed this story, then the crystal was a grim and deadly artifact, exactly the kind of thing that Indy would go searching for. He said, but a funny thing happened on the way to the present New Age movement, an airy-fairy vehicle for harmonic convergence. People are able to gaze into the eyes of the crystal skull and see these scenes to either read the past with great clarity or predict the future.
All right. So like the Ark of the Covenant, like the Holy Grail, this is based in real legend.
Yes.
Real archaeological legend.
Yes.
It was in the Time Life books from the 80s. Do you remember those?
No, I remember those books.
Pyramids on the cover.
And oh, really?
Page 11 was crystal skulls. So it's legit.
Well, if it was in those, I was always interested in the Bigfoot book and the UFO book.
They talk about the UFO, you know, because that's kind of been the rumor, is that that goes along with Area 51 and aliens or something like that.
In the 50s.
And he kind of gives this explanation. He said these things are big crystals, and people started thinking of them as these supercomputers of past civilizations. If a silicon chip can hold tons of information and data, imagine what a gigantic 11-pound crystal can hold. So maybe the skull has stored all of the lost knowledge of the Mayans or Atlantis or E.T., so he said there's a lot of rumor and speculation at this point as to what can be, but ultimately he ends it with true believers believe that each skull has its own specific property, and bringing them all together makes all those abilities available to everybody all at once. So
what he said.
Yeah.
So I have to, Kyle, I want to ask you, I know you're a listener of the show, and it's really quite an honor. To count you among our listeners, and so you probably know that in the past we've taken some heat about our stance on the Indiana Jones trilogy. I believe that Last Crusade is the best, followed by Temple of Doom, third by Raiders of the Lost Ark. I know. Pete is a little less.
Mad?
Yeah, in the words of Admiral Motti.
You're mad.
Yes, I am. Kyle, where do you weigh in on this?
You know, it's hard. Like, I have a certain respect for both, say, the original Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and the way they're made and they establish the world, and they're, like, they're so almost, like, you know, fresh and original and breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like when it's Star Wars, I almost enjoy Empire a little more than Star Wars.
Okay.
In indie, though, I still kind of feel like I'm probably mostly a Raiders fan.
Okay.
But I do love Temple of Doom, and I would say, I'd still say Last Crusade is probably second, though.
Second.
I think
okay.
the action in Temple of Doom that's nonstop for once it gets going for 50 minutes is just, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But overall, there was just something missing. My dog is going crazy.
Hey, no, that's okay. That's okay.
My puppy, new puppy.
Oh, what's the puppy's name?
Wendy.
Oh, that's sweet.
Other names that were close were Dobby. She looked like a house elf.
Dobby is free.
So, but I don't know. It's hard. I would say Raiders. I think there's just, the truck sequence in Raiders hasn't been, paralleled in any other indie film.
You know what kills me with Raiders, and I've said this before, it's just the ending. It just ends so abruptly. And I guess it's part of that kind of that serial, it's certainly based on the classic serials of the 40s and 50s, but it just, to me, the end is so flat because the rest of it is so good. And I can also understand the criticism that, Temple of Doom becomes almost, and as a big James Bond fan who loved Casino Royale and loved that they finally took the character of James Bond seriously again, I can sort of understand where some of the indie fans feel that Temple of Doom was a little too comic book-like or a little too, I don't know, not quite as real, not quite as gritty. Maybe that's where some of the
pulp origins. I don't know. I line up the Star Wars original trilogy and Indy next to each other. I look at the two first movies of each, and they're almost even. You said the third act of Star Wars is better than the third act of Raiders, so it gets a slight edge. And then I'd compare Empire and Temple of Doom, and that's where, the last two films in each, Raiders and I think Last Crusade, are kind of even. And I think it's the real difference in the trilogy for me is the middle movie. And Empire is just way classier movie than I think Temple of Doom.
Well, how are you feeling about the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull? What's your feeling? How do you think this is going to...
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for it. I talked to some different people that actually worked on a guy that were grips and sets and stuff, and sounds just enormous. They've taken over half of Los Angeles' sound stages, and the stuff they're building sounds...
All right, what can you tell
incredible.
Us? What can you tell us?
Like sets that fall apart underneath the actors as it spirals down, and this wraps some really cool things. I think action-wise, it's going to be nonstop. And it almost has to be. It's a summer movie in the 2000s, as opposed to when the original indies came out. People kind of expect a little more, and
right.
you've got the money to do it. Raiders is made on such a budget and such a on a tight shooting schedule. It's when you look at that. When you look at movies like Duel that Spielberg made, they're amazing. What he pulled off.
Well, that's true. I mean, that's why he's a genius. And arguably,
it's good that he said we're making a movie that's for the fans, as opposed to movies that he was making for himself.
Right.
Which to me is exciting.
Right.
If he was saying I'm making the movies that a 60-year-old Steven Spielberg wants to see, then
I mean, do you feel that tug as a director? I mean, do you feel that there's sort of a dichotomy between the films that you would make for a mass audience and then these ideas of films that you probably have in mind that are more personal films that just you want to make?
They're sort of. There are some that I've been trying to do for 6 or 7 years, that I know are the long haul type of movies. It doesn't mean I like them any more or less, or they're not coming from a personal place. If I'm getting behind something to make it, I'm going to have to love it. But it's totally different. I mean, he's also made, 25, 30 movies. He's been working forever, so maybe he's at a different place and he can find a way to separate it and look at it that objectively.
Right. Well, I have...
I don't know. I find it hard to... You'd have to... Every movie you make for yourself, You have to... You keep everything in mind, but in a way you have to be making... If you're miserable while you're making it and you're not happy with what you're doing, it's... I'm sure he's got the fan in him, though.
I'm sure.
He's making a film for the youthful side of him, going
right.
back to the old days, the stuff that
right.
made him who he was.
I think that's kind of the way it was a little bit for George. I know that when you would read about certain things that happened on the set, particularly what comes to mind is when Hayden Christensen finally donned the costume, and there he was looking at Ian McDiarmid and the Emperor and Darth Vader on the you know, on the set for the first time. And I think there was a lot of nostalgia for him, and it took him back. And I'm sure that that's the way it is for Steven Spielberg. It takes him back to a time, maybe a simpler time in his career a little bit, maybe a time when making movies was just fun, and it wasn't about, you know, maybe trying to win awards. Not to say that Spielberg tries to win awards, but, you know, he's done a number of those films, those sure. epic style of films. So maybe he's just having fun. But in any case, that's your Indy 4 report. This is a Star Wars podcast. We'll get to some Star Wars in just a minute.
I have good news for you, my lord.
That's good news.
Come closer, I have good news.
All right, now, I have to confess that I was a little behind on the news this week. So I'm really grateful to Pete that he was able to kind of pick up the slack for me. Pete, what is going on? What is this about?
The return of the Chewbacca impersonator. Hopefully all of you remember our... one of my favorite stories that we ever covered on the Forcecast here, where the Chewbacca impersonator and a guide, a tour guide out right. in front of Grohman's Chinese right. Theater, got in a little fight, and he allegedly headbutted the tour guide and got arrested with Elmo and
what was his
and
quote?
Mr. Incredible.
He ripped the helmet, the head off, and he says,
"No one pushes Chewbacca," or something like that. It was incredible. Well, of course, every Wookiee has his day in court. And if you're a Wookiee and you're looking to get justice, you go no further than Judge Joe Brown.
Are you kidding me?
No, that is, of course. And you have to go. It was on. If you go to StarWars.com's blog, Bonnie Burton had put up the story, and we got a couple of emails with it. It was on Best Week Ever, the show on VH1, this little clip here. And if you've got to see it, because the guy is just as odd as can be, and the tour guide is just as odd as can be. Well, and you just think to yourself, this story could only happen
in the Star Wars
and Hollywood universe.
Right. All right, well, we've got a clip from Judge Joe Brown. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Now, he comes over there, tells me, if you touch him again, I'm calling the police. I didn't even get a chance to entertain. I don't even know if I made the sound. You know what I mean? Now, I'm sitting there working, doing my job, and he comes over to me and tells me to stop touching someone he don't even know. He needed to mind his business. So he walks over to me, so he's the aggressor. So me being, you know, who I am, Chewbacca, I had to stand up for myself. All right, so I told him, no, mind his business. One word led to another, but I was wrong for getting loud and using curse words. That I did do, but headbutting, none of that happened. We both were in each other's face. Well, really, he was at my neck.
What do you say about this so-called headbutting? Do you admit or deny that occurred?
I did not headbutt him. We were both neck and neck at each other going at it. You know, no contact was made. You know, he said I hit him. I don't know if it was a braze, but how could I headbutt him when I would have to bend my knees and then hit him.
Now,
you got a real problem.
Oh, my gosh.
There's so much great stuff in there. The fact that he said, I was just over there doing my job. You are panhandling in front of Grohman's Chinese Theater. That is not a job.
No, no, no. You are not putting orange cones in the street and someone bothers you. I mean, that's a job.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's real work.
And it's just, he's a really big guy and he's got that voice.
Oh,
and
man.
He's wearing this green suit. And he does the roar in front of the crowd. I mean, it's just so classic. It's the only fitting end for that story.
It is.
Is to have it decided by Judge Joe Brown. And he won.
Oh, he did.
Yes, he won. I don't even know what the case was about. Like, I don't know if somebody was suing. I think the tour guide was suing him for headbutting him or something like that. I don't know.
The Wookiee defense.
But, just seeing that. Just seeing that clip brought back so many great memories for me.
Boy.
And I just wanted to go back and watch the footage of Elmo and Mr. Incredible being arrested, too, just to remind myself of what was going on. Gosh, that's just...
Kyle, did you ever take out one of those panhandlers there in front of Grohman's?
No, but I did bring my niece and nephew over there when they came to visit, and they were a little bit creeped out by... by the Spider-Man with the hip pack.
with a fanny pack?
He had like a fanny pack that was also webbed, and he'd like reach into it for his earnings and take a breath.
Oh my
God. Spidey sticks, we call them. Yeah. What's Spider-Man doing? Oh, he's playing with this Spidey stick.
You don't want to sell me Spidey sticks.
Move along. You know, it was actually like, you know, Jack Sparrow playing guitar, and there were a couple of warring Chewbaccas. Both of them trying to, like, you know, front the kids to get like prime entertainment spot.
Right.
It was it's pretty interesting up there.
Well, it looks
it's like basically like glorified panhandling.
Well, I mean, that is what it is, and I mean, but they're doing it in such a way that you know, it's, I mean, to the average tourist, I think they would think that they're, you know, maybe employees of the theater, or, you know, the Chamber of Commerce has them out there, or something.
You know what would be great? Overly aggressive costume characters. That'll really bring in the crowds.
You look across the street, it's the El Capitan Theater. It's Disney's movie theater. You don't see, like, people dressing up like Pocahontas and Timon across the street in their own costumes and handling up front. So I think it's up to that, like, the Manse Theater.
Oh.
To clean it up, or you know, or it looks like they're sanctioning it, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that...
Chewbacca should be put off the street, though. He's had a lot of problems.
Yeah, you know, hey, you know, we'd heard that before, that he had had several problems.
But he sounds perfectly reasonable to me.
It was entertaining.
The Chewbacca defense rests.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have to think that, you know, as much as I'm a fan of Lucasfilm and their kind of, you know, loosening the grip on the property and letting us kind of, you know, as we've often said here, play in the sandbox, maybe it's time to crack down on that. Maybe it's time you go to him and say, you know what, you're just not really representative of our brand, you know, so...
Well,
Tigger did grope two people. Wasn't there a Tigger at Disneyland that got in trouble?
For groping? Really?
Yeah, there's the same Tigger, or there was different guys, but in the same Tigger outfit got in trouble within a year for, like, grabbing women at Disneyland.
Tigger. Ooh.
Yeah, Tigger. He's a lazy man.
Boing, boing,
fun,
boing.
Fun. As they say.
Right. Hey, we've got a caller on the line. Not sure who this is. You're on the air with the Force Cast and Kyle Newman. Who's this? Oh. You need to turn down your computer.
Not sure who this is.
Hello.
Air with the Force Cast and Kyle Newman. Who's this?
Wow. So that's what radio guys go through.
Yeah,
turn down your radio. Okay, I don't think they're there. Execute Order 66. Yeah. Are you there, Execute Order 66?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, all right. There you are. Hey, man, how are you?
I'm cool, man.
Good. You're worth waiting for. You're on with the Force Cast and Kyle Newman. You got a question?
I think so.
What's that?
What was the question?
No, that's what we're asking you. Do you have a question?
Oh, no, it's more or less of a comment.
Oh, please, go ahead, make a comment.
I don't know if you guys were aware of this, anybody, but if you go to iOffer.com, they have the prequels with deleted scenes added into the movies. These Rock.
Where is this?
iOffer.com. It's the... online auction, kind of similar to eBay.
Right, right.
And just key in Star Wars Extended Edition, and it'll populate a list with episodes 1, 2, and 3 with the deleted scenes added in.
Added in. Wow. Yeah. Are these the same deleted scenes that you see on the regular DVDs, and they're just inserted into their places? Is that what it is?
Right. Right.
Okay. Well, and do you own a copy of these?
Yes.
And what do you think?
I think they're right. I can see why they edited some of the parts out, but it's good to see parts like with Mon Mothma and the Petition of the 2000 added into the movie. It gives Revenge of the Sith more of a role that I would like to have seen it take on when I watched it in theaters, but. I mean, episode 2 is kind of similar to the book. If you read it in episode 1, it kind of could have done with it or without it.
Right.
But I mean, I was just saying, you know, maybe fans might want to see that.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, I think that that would have kind of been the ideal when they released the DVDs in the first place, to give, do that branching effect so that you could watch them with the deleted scenes inserted into the movie. But well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I mean, I obviously there's a lot of different bootleg, you know, editions of the films out there. I can't necessarily say that I endorse that. That I, you know, that you know, you should run out and buy an illegal copy. But it's interesting to know that they're out there, and that it's certainly one way to experience the films. But hey, man, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Okay, I'm in no way endorsing this.
No, I hear you. No, that's cool.
They're just cool. There if that's your thing.
No, that's totally cool. No, not a problem at all. Thanks for you know, making us aware of it.
Okay, happy birthday, guys.
Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You know, I really love the IMAX cut of episode 2.
Oh,
did you guys see that?
Well.
I'm trying to remember now
IMAX version, but I saw the digital version.
It was like, it was either shorter or longer, but something about it, I really enjoyed it. Or,
I know that.
Yeah, I saw the IMAX version twice.
Okay.
At the theater, and I was just remembering it was just a much smoother, it just made more sense somehow.
Hmm. Maybe because the screen was so big.
Able to be purchased so I can study it.
Yeah, right. Well, I know that with the IMAX version in episode 2, there was the scene when Anakin is kind of losing it on the Lars homestead, you know, with Kleeg
and the vicious monsters.
Monsters. But he's really upset, and Padme comes down, you know, with the, I believe, the blue milk in the blue dress, too. Or it matches the milk. And, you know, he's holding me back, and he throws the thing, and then he falls down, and he's crying, and he says, I'm a Jedi. I know I'm better than this. That was in the IMAX cut, and it wasn't in, or that was in the digital cut, and it wasn't in the regular cut until it was out on DVD.
Yeah.
That I know for sure. And there, you're right, Kyle. There was some other stuff, and
there's
I can't.
The structuring of the opening with the whole stuff when the Senate comes into the room. You know, they come into Palpatine's quarters, and they, you know, they talk about the attack on Padme's life.
Right.
That was all structured a little different. It was like, I think in the first act they did some different things, and that's what kind of like somehow it just laid out the story in a much easier way.
I am sure that we will get loads of emails about that. I am absolutely sure.
We are positive.
Believe me. But we're, you know, that's cool to know, you know, that stuff's out there. Pete, you're a big Family Guy fan.
Huge.
The one sheet is out for, as they say.
Yeah, and it's not too far away. September 23rd, so only a couple weeks left before the big one-hour premiere Star Wars episode of Family Guy. And they did put out a poster. Hopefully you guys have seen it. If not, you can definitely check out the show notes, and it'll be up on there. But it is a takeoff of the New Hope poster.
Right.
With Chris as Luke and Peter as Han, Lois as Leia, and of course Stewie as Vader.
Who else?
Which I think is going to be hilarious. And the title of the episode is Blue Harvest, which, you know, you can tell from all of the things that are done in and around the episode, and things that they've done to prep the episode and to promote the episode, that there's a lot of thought that went into it. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff that they're fans too, just like as we've talked about many times with fanboys, you know that there's a fan behind it,
right?
And that that's part of the love that goes into it. And so I'm really excited. The one thing I was disappointed was they had a couple of I went searching for one to buy.
That makes sense to me, because in fact, these new Disney figures, where they've got the Disney characters dressed up, that's really surprised me, because one of the deals with Spaceballs, if you recall, was that, yes, you can do it, but no merchandise.
No merchandise.
So I just wonder if that's kind of a holdover, that, you know, that you can do this parody stuff, but you can't release merchandise for it.
I would think that probably has something to do with it. But they did say, you know, if you take the image to Kinko's, they'll probably print you a poster of it. But
we're going to do merchandise.
Are you?
We're trying. I've talked to some different places that are interested. They actually seem like they're open to it.
Oh, really?
Like, if it's not like a complete, if you're not capitalizing on a complete direct
right
parody, you know.
So maybe like, so
it might be tricky for the Family Guy poster, but you know, the thing is, Fox owns the first Star Wars completely, I think, or they own a much bigger chunk than Lucas owns the rest by himself. Mm-hmm. So they have a say in that poster being used. Mm. How they want it. I think there's something like that with the stipulation. Also, same thing with the music for the first film for A New Hope, as opposed to the other five.
Hmm, that's interesting. I mean, Lucas had slightly less, considerably less clout at that time, and was just kind of shopping the film from studio to studio, and it was Mr. Ladd, I believe, mm-hmm. at the time, who gave it the green light, and I don't know how much. I know that he turned in a percentage of his salary as the director, in order to get more of the merchandise and sequel rights. So,
yeah. So I think 20th Century Fox actually owns, you know, a lot more of anything from A New Hope. So maybe they'll find a way to do it. It's a Fox show, and I'm sure that's kind of one of the big reasons why.
Maybe they just didn't think that it would sell. I don't know.
That's a possibility.
But there's a slew of Family Guy merchandise out there. I mean, they've got all kinds of stuff.
You want it? Ask. They'll always find a way to sell it. Fans demand it.
That's right. Right.
Well, we know people. Right. Anyway, okay, well, that's cool. I'm definitely looking forward to that. You know, Family Guy is one of those shows for me that I don't seek it out. And not because I don't like it, because when I stumble on it, I'm hooked. I can't stop.
Oh, yeah.
But I think now in the world of DVD and TiVo, and I know that it's one of those shows that's going to be on syndication for a long time, and I'm just kind of waiting to get caught up on some other stuff, and I'll either borrow your DVDs, Pete, or, you know, pick them up myself or whatever.
Well, and I've noticed that it is out in syndication. It's on one of the networks in their afternoon kind of dinner time schedule now. And that always, I guess it's five seasons, so that's a pretty decent amount of episodes. But
they're doing it with three seasons now.
Yeah.
With The Office and with Two and a Half Men.
Right.
It
makes me surprised. Yeah,
the
yeah,
magic number used to be four seasons.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. right.
Because it would bring you up to almost 100 episodes. That was always like the big payday for actors. But I think they're doing it for less now.
Well, unless it was USA. If you remember USA, you know, they ran Wings, and they would run some other shows. And they would also run shows like Fired Up that lasted like, you know, nine episodes. And it would literally be the same thing run every week. It was right. The same lineup. But yeah, it was always like Kyle said, four or five seasons was sort of the magic number. And now we're seeing the syndication happen a lot quicker. Maybe that bodes well then for the Star Wars television series. Series is. Did you catch that?
It'll be syndicated after its first show.
Right, right.
They'll just keep playing the initial one over and over again.
What's that, Kyle?
Just do the Star Wars Network.
Oh, man, wouldn't that be something? Isn't that the
maybe
way to
by
go?
The end of the whole run of the series and the whole run of the CGI animated series and the second series, third series they're talking about, there'll be enough to have a station round the clock that I can pay $9.95 a month for. That you can just leave on in the room of your house.
Right.
And walk in there and have the Battle for Endor.
Just have the, you know, the movies on in HD and then, you know, intermittently play the shows and the cartoons and
right.
And, you know, maybe the animated series and
droids and Ewoks.
Ewoks and the holiday special.
They have so much material. And it would also probably carry over into Indiana Jones and Young Indiana Jones.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Red Tails.
Yeah. Well, and Willow and all that. Now
H Duck.
You've got why don't you float throw that up the flagpole there, Kyle? You've got clout.
You guest host like nights, like Friday night. So analyze the holiday special kind of like
that's
mystery.
Right. That's right.
Theater.
And maybe we could do like the Force Cast TV version. You know, like once a week, we could do kind of the Star Wars roundup.
There's probably going to be a way in the future when distribution changes where it's going to be some type of service and you get access to everything Star Wars.
That would be cool. Well, if you got the...
You can only dream.
Right. If you got the survey that went out at StarWars.com, I mean, a lot of those questions were kind of leading you toward that way. Would you like to be able to watch the movies online? Would you like to be able to see the deleted scenes online and, you know, a lot of this
stuff?
They
alluded to that with the distribution, with the format wars, with, you know,
right.
Blu-ray and HD. HD is much better.
not that you're taking sides.
I just don't like any Sony format stuff. It's just like the mini disc. And
yeah, they screw up everything. You're right.
And it's too like, it just feels like it's all one company, which I don't like. I just think HD is like a more universal platform.
Yeah, I haven't dabbled in either one of them. I'm still waiting out. I don't know how much longer. There you go, the hybrid players.
It was a DVD, and it was just like that went on for a year, but you knew DVD was eventually going to win. It was like, why'd you put us through that?
Why? Well, all right, so we've got a little bit of news here, some collecting news. We're not going to run the intro because it's just not enough collecting news to run the intro. We'll wait until we have Dan Curto back for that. But what do we got with the concept? Grievous went up for sale.
Yes.
Very cool.
It's a great figure, and I really enjoyed it. But I got to tell you, the thing that just drove me nuts about it was the price point. At $17 plus, you know, you're paying $6 for shipping and handling for essentially the same figure that you could buy, you know, if they put it out on a, you know, on a regular distribution for $9.99, including the star case. I mean, that's what the VOTC characters going for, the figures go for. So
I don't even need the star case.
No, you don't have to church it up for me. You know, just if I want a star case, I'll put it in there myself.
For $18, it better come with a Comtech chip.
A Comtech chip
that most for my money.
That says something like,
"How will you explain this invasion to the Senate?"
Actually, that sounds more like Grievous than Bibble. Right, right. but yeah, I got to agree with you, Pete. I think that it is gouging.
Yeah,
that $23, what it comes down to about, is a little much.
Yeah, and you know, that's why, you know, I knew that you would want one, so I grabbed one for you,
right.
And I didn't feel, you know, as bad about it because then we could split the shipping, and it was only $7 shipping instead of $6. You know, so instead,
so much better.
Well, it was $3.50 a piece instead of being $6 just myself. I mean, it was just when I confirmed the order, I was like, gosh.
There's got to be a mistake here.
Yeah. This is over $30 for two figures?
I should get the whole Lucas family for $30.
Actually, wait, you can.
You can. Kyle, did you pick up a Grievous?
I didn't pick it up yet. I want to.
Is it still available, Pete?
It is. I figured it was going to be one of those ones that would sell out rather quickly. But as my last...
I feel like, you know, for the past 3 or 4 years, I've missed most everything.
Oh, really? Well, you're busy making movies and stuff.
I had to survive off of, like, eBay collecting, because I would go into stores right when they opened, and they'd already be gone, and there'd be, like, a guy smiling. You know, the guys he sold it to before it even opened out the back door. And so that's, like, I lived in New York before this, and there was one on Union Square, and it was notorious. You'd go to Forbidden Planet two blocks away, and they'd be sitting there. They just got them in at $30 a piece. How'd you guys get them? I'm like, oh, we picked them up at Toys R Us this morning. No, you didn't. So I got kind of priced out of collecting, which was terrible for a while, you know?
Yeah.
But now I'm back in. I'm just, like, specializing in Yodas.
Very cool.
And just different ones I like, that I've always wanted to see made. Because I just can't keep up with the Entertainment Earth special. There's too many things. Like, I was going crazy. It was, like, the only thing. I don't drink. I don't do anything else. The only thing I would spend money on was stuff. I still was like, how do you keep up? How are there people that keep up with this?
Well, I was just telling Pete. I was out at Toys R Us a few days ago, and they had They had wave three of the comic two packs in, and I gave Pete a call and said, you know, is there any of these that you want me to pick up? And he had already picked them up, so he didn't need any. And I'm standing there. I got those. They're $30. I still haven't picked up the VOTCs for the summer, and so I know that's going to be $60 because Toys R Us will not clearance anything. I mean, my God, the Endor AT-AT is still $99.99. I think it's gone down maybe to $99.89 or something like that.
Price rollback.
Right, right. They don't clearance anything. They still got, like, beat up, dirty stuff that's been, you know, hidden under the shelves.
Kicked around on the floor.
Yeah. Lando VOTC from, like, several, you know, a couple years ago. haven't marked that down. I mean, it's terrible. So, so I was looking at, you know, potentially spending $90. And I just couldn't do it. I'm like, man, I'll have to wait and, like, you know, give myself a week to breathe. You're absolutely right. It's almost like too much. And then all the battle packs. And then you start getting crazy.
The thing is, they keep product-wise, quality-wise, they keep upping it. And that's what, you know, I got to meet a lot of the Hasbro guys and, you know, hear what they're talking about doing. And it's great because they talk to all the fans. They want to hear what people want to see.
Yeah.
And that's great when they can keep it alive like that.
Yeah, I'm certainly not complaining about their choices.
That's what you want. You want fans designing your collectibles,
That's,
as opposed to marketing people.
Right, right. It's very fun to kind of compare and contrast, you know, the old, you know, the vintage stuff, and the way they marketed the vintage stuff. I mean, I still remember those terrible lightsabers, like they were like wiffle ball bats, and you had to swing them like really fast and hard to get like the remotest sound out of them, or the most remote sound. It was really lame, and they the way they were displayed and everything. Now you got like, I mean, now they've got the FX lightsabers in Toys R Us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's amazing.
Great. Well, and it's always difficult when you have somebody who doesn't really know all about what the product is or what they're doing. And, you know, they're just kind of there, you know, to because of, you know, they've shown prowess in their marketing abilities before or something like right. that. But trying to make decisions on things like that. And I think that's why at some points we've gone through some lulls.
Yeah.
And what's been going on just because. That's that they don't really know the product as well as some of the other people do, and what the fans really want.
And you got Daryl DePriest in there over at Hasbro, and I mean you see him do those Hasbro panels and all those designers, and they are just they're like a bunch of kids.
Daryl and Brian Wilk, they're really cool guys, and they want to make the fans happy. That's their goal, you know.
Right.
They want the line to last forever.
Now we should have mentioned this in our indie update, but we'll mention it here. If you want to celebrate the newly released official name of Indiana Jones 4, you can wear it on a shirt over at StarWarsShop.com. You can get the official Indy 4 logo shirt out there. What is that? How much is that, Pete? Do you know?
Oh, that one I didn't even look at after I spent $70 on Grievous. There's no way I was buying a shirt.
You're not looking for anything else.
So I kind of passed that one by. So, but it is available in case you're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, this is one of those warm, touchy-feely stories. This is pretty cool. Now, we have not. It's funny. This is the first time I think that Star Wars Galaxies has come up on the show. We haven't really talked about it.
We've only talked about it in passing a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah. I think we talked about the fact that you've played. Kyle, have you ever played Star Wars Galaxies?
I tried it. I really, you know, it came out right at the time where I was like, I'm not playing video games anymore. And
right.
Damn. Because I just felt like I was like spending 40, 50 hours a week playing like video games that I should not have been playing that much. And right. when that came out, I was like, this is an all-observing Star Wars universe. I cannot touch it. But it's always intrigued me from a distance. It looks cool.
Yeah, I mean, I
heard it was hard to create a Jedi at first. That's what I was like, wait, I don't want to.
At first it really was, but they made a lot of changes to kind of get that.
So now anyone can be a Jedi?
Not quite just anyone, but they do make it a lot easier. I always thought, and this is just one of my rants, I always thought, I like the fact that it was hard to make a Jedi because the era that they picked, it's right after New Hope.
Okay.
You know, it's Empire versus Rebellion, and that's kind of the area. There wasn't a lot of Jedi running around, and yeah. people complained about that. What I really would have preferred, instead of them making it easier, is make a similar game or make an expansion of that game that just takes place in a different era, like the Republic era,
right.
where there were Jedi.
The Jedi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Jedi serving coffee.
Yeah. Yeah. Instead of barristers, you had Jedi. You know,
right?
It was a lot easier then. So
well, so the online community there at Star Wars Galaxies, they did something for a really good cause. What, Pete, you want to fill us in?
Well, they had a one of the things that they have a problem with is buildings that get built and then abandoned in the galaxy. They take up space. There's nothing going on there. So they ran a thing where you could destroy these condemned buildings, you know, and you can get rewards and paintings and stuff like that. And you know, they would have Thai bombers come in like that, and you, they donated the money in order for you to destroy these buildings.
Very cool.
And so, you know, as you donated it, the proceeds went to the Austin, Texas Habitat for Humanity.
And oh, so you're like destroying buildings in order to build
them. Yeah, and that was kind of their premise, and that was kind of how they marketed it. And they raised over $10,000.
Wow, man.
Doing this. So, you know, it's one of those things where a problem becomes a solution for more than one thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's genius. I thought, you know, wow, what a great way to do it.
Yes. That is cool. You got these people, they're sitting around playing this game for hours and hours and hours. Might, you know, make them, put them to work.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, and kudos to those people for recognizing that it was a good cause and stepping up to the plate, because it's already expensive enough to pay that and to, you know, pay your monthly subscription fees and all that kind of stuff to stay in that universe. So kudos to them for stepping up and actually realizing that it was going to go for a good cause and really raising a lot of money.
Right. Well, before
I've
we get
in the Galaxy's universe, you can actually buy the holiday special, but you can't. Characteristic news, galactic credits, and they can buy.
I need to do something more real.
Well, before we get into our listener feedback, and he's not going anywhere, so don't worry. I want to thank, in case we don't have a chance to do it again, I want to thank Kyle for being on the program. And, of course, we at the ForceCast have been following the production of Fanboys, his highly anticipated film. And I believe we're going to get a chance to see it this winter. But
indeed,
yes, indeed. But there is an opportunity for you to do more than just see it. You could maybe be in it. So, Kyle, why don't you fill us in?
Well, we're doing a contest where you can put yourself on video and showing or explaining why you are the, you know, you think you're the world's biggest Star Wars fan. And it could be anything. It could be talking to the camera. It could be showcasing it. You could put on a small performance. Anything you can think of, any length is acceptable. And just, you know, show how much you love Star Wars. And we're trying to, you know, find the biggest fan, or who, you know, who the studio and the producers deem is the biggest fan, and work them into the film. So wow. Not too much time left to do it. But
do you know what the deadline is?
The deadline is the 15th.
Oh, okay.
Work all night.
Okay. Right.
And I'm trying to get the Fanboys.
There is there's a website you can go to. You should know.
I had to. Now it's not coming up.
Well, that's all right. I mean, here's the thing. Pete and I have talked about it while Kyle's looking for this. Pete and I have talked about this, and we were wondering if you would recognize us if we entered. So we thought about, you know, maybe wearing masks. We've thought about maybe just sending in our. We can't, because you're going to recognize our voices. And do we count? I mean, can we enter?
Yes, anyone can enter.
I like that. Anyone can.
Really, you guys should. I mean, I'm gonna be voting too. So if it's people I know, they and they entertain me, then you know, maybe they have a better shot. No, it's gonna be completely open. And
oh, that's cool.
It's fanboyscontest.com, I think is what it is here.
Okay.
And it's through dailymotion.com.
All right. Well,
and, you know, if you get your entries in soon, I'm sure they're going to keep it open longer. So,
well, I know that we've got a number of folks listening right now live via TalkShoe, and I also know that we've got some of our good friends that are actually folks that post at theforce.net and Rebel Scum. So I would imagine someone like Mick C would be able to get a reminder up tonight as we record the show live, maybe, about to remind folks to enter the contest, fanboyscontest.com.
Yeah, it's the last chance to do it, but it's going to be a good opportunity. It's going to be fun. You get to come down and work with all the people that are in the movie, and it's a whole bunch of Star Wars fans. So it's going to be fun. And the one thing I can say that I know that I haven't been looking for is, you know, fan films. So don't send us, like, your fan film unless you want to introduce it beforehand and say,
right.
but don't just send in a fan film. You know what I mean?
Right.
They want to see who you are, and they want to see the person. You know?
Right.
So if it's a big part of who you are and how you're a fan that you make fan films, then say that, you know, but introduce it. And
if that's how you express your fandom.
Yeah, that's how you express your fandom. So explain that. So,
right.
And it's just like, it's going to be really simple, you know, and it'll be fun. So, and if there's a couple of good ones, we'll bring on a couple of people. You know, it won't just be one person.
All right.
Oh, well, and I want to just say to all the other Star Wars fans out there that listen to the Force Cast, is you should spread the word. You shouldn't just hoard the Force Cast for yourself. You should tell all of your friends. You know, I emailed like a whole bunch of people that I know are fans, and wherever I go, I tell people about it. So I think it's our job as fans of the Force Cast to keep spreading the word, because I think, you know, Jason, Pete, you guys do such a great job, and Jimmy, and you know, Official Picks for sponsoring you guys. It's great. You know, since it started, I've become addicted to it. I listen to it every week. I don't listen to music in the car anymore. I listen to the Force Cast. They're like, what are you listening to?
I'm sure the fiance just loves that. I'm sure. It's like, oh, my God, are you listening to those guys again?
She listens to the Force Cast.
Well, that's very cool. Is she a fan of Star Wars at all?
Oh, yeah, big fan.
Oh, great. Great.
Both Star Wars and Harry Potter.
Oh, see, there you go. And your life will be so much easier. I worked on my wife. You know, good wives aren't born. You know, they're created. They're made.
Can only say that because he knows she won't listen.
That's right. There's no chance she's going to hear this. And she's not even in the Force Cast studios right now. But no, that's cool. I mean, it is cool. I mean, my wife Deb, she really does like Star Wars. Not anywhere near as much as I do, but she does like it. And Pete's a fiance.
I'm chipping away.
He's chipping away now. When she thought that Hayden Christensen was hot. So back when Episode 3 was about to be released, we had her over on about, you know, four or five different nights to play all the films leading up to Episode 3. So there's a glimmer.
There is a glimmer of hope
there. All right,
she's seen my extremes yet, because like when Episode 3 came out, when I saw it like 9 times in 4 days, that would have been difficult to explain.
Yeah. Yes, that might be. All right, well, we've got some listener mail coming your way right now.
You must contact me.
Play back the entire message.
What message?
Message after the message.
The Emperor commands you to make contact with him.
It's a trick. Send no reply.
And if you're just joining us on TalkShoe, we are live, and we've got Kyle Newman, director of Fanboys, on the air with us, and he was just talking about the Fanboys contest. I'm sure Mick will have it up. I mean, it has been posted on TFN before, so you can look through the archives, but I think Mick will probably refresh that post to make sure that people get a chance to go to fanboyscontest.com and upload your video and try to get into the film.
Yes, and we could say that mentioning that you listen to the Force Cast can't hurt your standing as the ultimate fanboy.
Right.
It may help. We're not going to guarantee that, but we are at least going to say it can't hurt.
Right. I don't think it'll disqualify them in any way.
No.
We've got some callers here. I do want to send a shout out here. Mario B, Execute Order 66, Jade Jedi, Tallest Jawa, Kramer, Mick C, Psycho Sidious, Snoop Jeffy Jeff, Darth Pugh, just a ton of people that are on right now live on TalkShoe, spending your Wednesday night with us. I really appreciate it. Now, granted, you know, the new season hasn't really started yet of TV, so we understand it's still reruns, I think, but we still really appreciate it. We've got some callers here. Kyle, can we take some calls? What do you think?
Heck yes.
All right, here we go. All right, you're on the air with the Force Cast. Who's this? Hello. You are on. Master Zarg. I believe Master Zarg. Are you there, buddy? Okay, I think he's having some problems. So,
can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, we can hear you now. Loud and clear.
Sorry, I'm testing out that shoe phone. They still had it muted on my side.
Oh, okay.
That's the tricky part of it.
The shoe phone. All right. Hey, man, thanks for calling
in. All right, I do have one comment, and a couple of the other people wanted me to ask a question.
Okay.
Question for Kyle is, was there an official release date yet?
It is January 18th, and here's the problem. It's the film business, and you know I'm with a studio that has a history of moving their dates a lot. So that's the date I'm moving forward with, and everything I'm doing, and that's the date that they're telling me it is. I can't say 100% that it's going to stay that way. I hope it is. I hope it never changes again. But they've already changed it on me 4 or 5 times, and I don't know. I mean, it's very frustrating for me, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the people that are, you know, looking forward to seeing it. But right now, we're gearing up for January, and that's we're working towards 100%. So
January 18th was the date, Kyle?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can also. I know there's a lot of people that have been expecting this movie and been hearing it for a while. Write the Weinstein Company a letter or email them and ask them what's going on.
Is there an email address, Kyle, that you know of that you could give out? That, you know, I'm sure that a lot of us would send the email in saying, we want to see this movie for
Kyle. I don't know what it would be, but I'll try to find one and get it.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. Master Zarg, what else is going on?
I don't think they realize the real potential of the community of Star Wars, how big it is and how strong it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're like, wow, there's an event called Star Wars Celebration and people go to it. You know, it's almost naive how big it is and how powerful it is.
Right.
And
you've got to point to the fact that there is so much going on in pop culture. Robot Chicken had a whole Star Wars special. Family Guy, which is one of the highest rated primetime cartoon series ever, is having an entire Star Wars series, so or Star Wars episode. So it's out there. The community is out there, and they'll talk.
I spend a lot of time kind of explaining how big the community is and kind of highlight, you know, and showcase what it is and what we can tie into and you know, what strengths to play off of and when you're kind of unleashing into the marketplace, because it is very competitive, and you know it's a small movie compared to, you know, you release it in the summer, it's either counter programming or it gets killed because it can't go up against $200 million movies, especially when you're not committing huge amounts of marketing to it. So you got to find the right weekend to release it to
right.
do it justice, and I think that's why you know they keep moving it to find a spot where it's, you know, it's going to be able to stand on its own.
Kyle, there was a question in the chat here in TalkShoe about will it open nationally, or will it? Do you know if it's just going to be select markets at first? Any idea?
No, it's national. I mean, that's what it's supposed to be, and you know they're talking about some really big corporate tie-ins, and that's part of the reason we've been waiting. You know, tying it into some fast food chain stuff like that. So,
oh wow.
Half of the reason for the delays is, you know, stuff that I wanted to do creatively, and half is they kind of become aware of how big it is, especially communicating with Lucasfilm and kind of opportunities that they've shown them. So it's tying into things that are really big, that can, you know, they can make the movies because it can be, and it won't just be a small film because it does have this huge community. So there are some cool things that they're working on that, you know, if they come together, it's I think that's what's going to really dictate the actual day it comes out and how they promote it. So.
Well, Talas Jawa here on the in the chat has requested a Fanboys lunchbox. Can you make that happen?
Fanboys, that would be amazing.
And it's got to be the plastic one with the thermos. You know,
that would be so cool. You know, there was an opening for the movie that I really wanted to do, which was it's like the opening credits, but I wanted it to be. Imagine if Fanboys was the movie from the 70s, and it's on all the products, and you have the actors and action figures, and on shrinky dinks and pajamas, and posters and bed sheets and slippers and
right.
you know, toothbrushes, and it's like you go through like a Fanatics room and you see like how you know it was even on the blinds, you know, and that's something I'm hoping that I can still film that as like a cool opening credits thing or even like an end credits thing.
Right.
There's so many things I wanted to do that I just didn't have the money to do while
right.
we were making it. And I storyboarded that, and I think that'd be cool. And obviously, part of it was I mocked up, like the, you know, what the lunchbox would look like. So it's funny that's.
well, it's in demand.
Thermos. It was two characters. One character was in the lunchbox. The other was on the thermos. It's a pretty cool credit card.
Sweet, Master Zarg, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Anything else that you wanted to ask Kyle or? Well, Pete and I are here too, but who cares?
Well, actually,
we've got Kyle Newman.
Last week, I didn't have a chance to actually sit in while you guys were recording, but I did have a comment about the quote from the actor who played Mahdi.
Oh, boy.
The soundbite I guess he gave to
Yeah.
That Jimmy, he reluctantly gave to
right,
Jimmy.
Right.
I'm just thinking you guys have to work that in somehow. Somewhere.
Well,
it's too good to pass up.
Man.
we gotta increase the volume on that. Maybe Jimmy can edit that because it's just it's so great. But yeah, oh, you're saying about like when he yells at Jimmy about not wanting to give the line, but yet he does give the line.
Especially the part where he says, "And guess who hasn't been paid?" That's just gold right there.
Oh, now I don't know, Kyle, if you were able to. I think you said that you missed the last show, but our own Jimmy Mack was out at I don't know where. I think maybe Celebration 2, I think, is where this came from. And the gentleman who played Admiral Motti, Richard Leparmentier, was out there. And Jimmy was kind of going around doing his guerrilla style interviews, and he went up and he said, "Hey, can we get you to cut an ID for our radio station?" And he just went ballistic, and he said, "For all he's opened with,
mad.
Yeah, are you blankety blank mad?" And he went off about how he never got paid for that line, and every radio station in America uses it, and blah blah blah. And he was not a happy man, Richard Leparmiente.
Yet, was he at a convention?
Yeah, he was at a convention, yeah. Yeah, he was fair game, man.
Yeah.
So, anything else, Master Zarg? Are they encouraging you to ask us anything else?
They did have a question about merchandising, but I don't know if it's too early to ask about that yet.
About
for Kyle.
Oh, for Kyle.
About fanboys.
Yeah, he touched on a little bit about Kyle. You want to add anything else about the merchandise?
I wanted to do like a smaller sized version of the Bucephalus van, kind of like a Matchbox kind of thing, and I also wanted to do like a Hasbro size figure, maybe with Hasbro, of one or two of the characters. For
that
can't say which, but that's
right.
Something that we were kind of talking about trying to do. Plus, all the just different standard stuff that you'd see with film, but I would like to try and get in, see some stuff from our film be brought to life as merchandise, but in the form of stuff that Star Wars fans collect and are kind of dear to their heart in formats that are ones we're familiar with, as opposed to things you'd see in Spencer Gifts that have South Park on
right, them. Right. Well,
like stuff that Star Wars fans like maybe busts or action figures or
right.
Or,
I'm thinking, Kyle, that since we're nearing release date, maybe you could at least do the early bird pack. They just get a box of an empty box that has a coupon in it saying that the figures will be out shortly.
That would be cool. One point, I was talking about trying to do the guys as they look now, and then the vintage version of them, because I wanted the vintage version of them to be like the ones used in the opening credits.
Okay.
And it'd be, like, act together. Like, you'd see Hutch, like, the 77 version.
Right.
With the straight knees and one that looks a little more sculpted and modern.
Right.
I thought it'd be fun.
That would be really, really cool. That would be really cool. Yeah. But as far as you haven't been presented with any kind of legal issues, right? This is all kind of a logistics thing at this point.
Well, we our poster. It's a definite play on the Return of the Jedi poster. With the two Luke's hands raising the.
We don't know anything about that here at the Forcecast.
Raising the saber up, and it's a definite play on that. And at first, Lucasfilm was like, "No, you can't use it. It's an icon." And then they became they were cool with us. They became more open to it, and then it became something we could use at conventions and online. And it became part of our contest figurehead. It's just something they've been using on their promotional stuff, and I'm hoping it'll as things continue to be favorable with them, they'll let us use it as our at least our style B poster. So I don't know, but they've been great, and every week it gets better and better with them. They're just open to things. So
cool.
I'm hoping it's. It doesn't have any problems. So I know we haven't had many problems with using it as our poster. I know we probably couldn't sell ours because right now it's considered only for promotional stuff, but I'm hoping that will change.
Well, I have to say, since we have the opportunity to talk to you and you're on the show, the Jawas are really bugging me here on the chat. They're saying, please tell Kyle about our movies. And I wanted to plug this anyway because they are really working hard. What they do is they take various clips from the show and then they animate them. I don't know if you've had a chance to see any of them, Kyle, on YouTube.
No, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, username The ForceNet. The latest one that they did about the hover chair incident with Klieg Lars is just solid gold.
Yeah, that was very
it's
funny.
Very good, and it's pretty scary. I'll tell you, I don't know, because I don't see myself when I'm doing the show, but of course I stare right across at Pete, and they've got some of his expressions down to a T. Now, I don't know if they've got mine down, because I don't see me.
Oh, absolutely.
But
without a doubt.
They animate our faces, these ridiculous stills. Anyway, so go to YouTube, username The Force Net. I think they're uploading to that user ID.
I'm definitely going to check that out. That's cool.
Maybe not.
Are you guys ever considering doing like a video version?
No, man. We've got faces for radio. Let me tell you, we're an audio face. No, actually, we have talked about it, but it's just right now. It's not in the budget. But certainly, if we ever, you know. It's where let's face it. It's where podcasting is heading. Not to say that there won't always be audio podcasts, just like there will always be radio. There's something very intimate about radio, and people's voices coming over the waves, and you know, listening with your earphones and stuff. And there's something very cool about that. But yeah, I definitely. Well, I don't know if you missed last week's show, but we announced that. When we were at Celebration 4, we got to don the armor of the 501st, and so that video is up on YouTube, so you want to check that out. So
and it should be available for a video cast shortly.
Yeah,
so hopefully
we are,
that'll improve the quality.
Next week and the whole world changes.
That's right. Well, we will be piping that down as a special to kind of – we're kind of commemorating – our, you know, 1 year anniversary all month long here on the ForceCast, and at the rate that this is going, we'll probably continue into next month. But I mean,
it's a year long celebration of our first birthday.
That's right. But I mean, anything we can do to thank the listeners for being with us for so long, and we appreciate it. And so we're going to send that down as a video podcast, our first real video podcast. So look for that coming soon. Master Zarg, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right, man. We've got another caller, so if it's all right, we're going to go ahead and let you go, unless you have another question.
No, that's all I have this week, so I just want to say happy anniversary. Good luck for the next year.
Thanks a lot,
buddy.
Man.
Take care.
Okay, who is next? You're on with the ForceCast and Kyle Newman.
Hey, fellas. It's Mick Chelly. How you doing?
Mick Chelly. Hey, did you get that post up, man?
I'm way ahead of you. It's already up there on the force.net and in the forums at rebelscum.com, so I'm on top of it, fellas.
All right.
Thank you. Well, no problem. And I just wanted to tell Kyle how much you know, I appreciate all the hard work that he's put into the movie. I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. I've seen the trailer numerous times, and I just can't wait for it to come out. It's going to be great.
Oh, thanks so much, man. I want to finish it because I think it's like... I know everyone's going to get something out of it because, you know, I made it as a fan, and I just wanted it to come out as soon as possible. And so part of me, I just get so frustrated waiting and waiting and hearing all these different strategies of how they're going to release it. I'm just like, get it out there.
I'd like it on the screen, please. That's all I'm asking for.
I'm like, and somebody, which is really cool, created a fanboys on MySpace. Which was cool.
Just
go to MySpace and type of fanboys, and they've got like clips from our press conferences and everything. And I keep trying to figure out who it is, and I'm like, "Who are you?" You know, and they're just playing like a game with me. But there's something out there. They get all the good stuff. So
wow, that's cool.
Check that out too. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Well, I mean, in this day and I mean this world of. You know, social media and viral video. I mean, it's really I couldn't pick in a lot of ways a more fun time to be a Star Wars fan and than right now with just how easy it is to sit here and talk to fellow fans like this. It's just an incredible opportunity.
Well, this is going to be the last call for Kyle's a very busy man. He's a director and he's engaged now. So.
Gotta go make himself some ramen noodle.
If there's anybody out there that has a question, go ahead and get in the queue to call. If not, we're going to go ahead and wrap this puppy up.
Jason, before I go, I just wanted to say that if I could real quick.
Yeah, sure.
I'm 0-1 in the Fantasy Football League, and I'm already on suicide watch.
I've seen your teeth. I know that's all. That's
great. Oh, man. I told the wife to hide the belts and the shoelaces, so I'm already there.
Oh, man. Well, it'll turn around. You know, that's
it will.
Part of fantasy football.
Well, anyway, I got those posts up for you, so we're good to go.
Hey, thanks.
Thank you. No problem.
Well, we're going to have to edit this show, let me tell you. That's all right. You're going to have to bear with us. That the last, you know, 10 minutes of the show are going to sound like crap. Because we're going to have to use the talk show backup. Once again, we've gone long. It's crazy.
It's my fault. Just blame me.
It's outrageous.
All right. Well, hey, Mick, thanks a lot, man. We got another caller here. So let's go ahead and take him. Let's might as well go down in flames here. Thanks, Mick. You're on with the Forecast and Kyle Newman. Who's this?
Oh, hi, it's Sheldon.
Sheldon. Hey, Sheldon, what's happening, man?
Hi. Well, first of all, happy anniversary, guys. And thanks for all your hard work. It's incredible what you guys do for free. And I appreciate it. It gets me through my commutes. I have a long commute to work, and it's really changed my commute. It's been great. A question for Kyle.
Yes.
I'm just looking on IMDb. What was The Hollow?
That is an interesting story in itself. it was a movie. It's about present day Sleepy Hollow. Distant relatives of Ichabod Crane get re-haunted by the headless horseman, and I took over directing it 4 days into production, and craziness ensued. It was quite an adventure. Like, stepped through onto a project. I met the producers one morning, and within 40 minutes, literally 40 minutes, I was on set shooting. And I hadn't read the script. And just had to kind of pick it up as I was going, direct from the sides, which are basically, you know, the scenes you're shooting for the day, and kind of piece it together instinctually, you know, and figure out the strengths of every actor and all the crew people, why they were hired, what they bring to it, and trying to make the best of something that, you know, I took over, you know, definitely into production. So it was like, you know, hit the ground running fast, but it was very fun. It's the kind of movie that I grew up on watching. You know, I was going for kind of like an arachnophobia, the Spielberg kind of tone. But it's Sleepy Hollow, it's ghosts, it's fun.
And I do have friends who are horror film aficionados who really said that The Hollow was great fun and they really enjoyed it. So
we made it for under $1 million on a very, very brisk schedule. So it was a challenge, but you know, it was also a lot of fun. It was, you know, it's a very simply made movie. You don't have the time to do elaborate stuff and nor get the tools, but you know, just getting the job and stepping in there and trying to make the best out of it that I could. It was great. I learned so much. I had a great time. I met a lot of, you know, lifelong friends on it, and it's been fun. You know, I wouldn't say rent it and guaranteed you're going to love it, but I can't wait. Families is really like the movie that's mine from start to finish. You know, I made it with a bunch of other people, but I would feel like, you know, at least I was involved from the beginning and had a say over script and story and casting and who was going to bring it to life with me. So, but you know, once you're making it, you know, you're a few days into making something that doesn't even mirrors, and you're screaming about it, passionately protecting it from other people trying to ruin your movie. Like, you were involved in it for months, but you know, it's like you have to get someone, you know, involved in it, and you have to, you know, take great care in it, or else it falls apart so easily. So, wow. I love all my children.
That's cool. All right, man. Hey, thanks for the question. Anything else?
Well, what was the budget of The Hollow, and what was the budget of Fanboys?
Hollow was like $750,000. It was small, and Fanboys is equally. It's not as small, but it's under $5 million. It's well under $5 million. So.
That's amazing to hear. Just seeing the footage that we've already seen. To say that came in under $5 million is amazing to me.
Yeah, it's like around $4 million. I mean, we set out to do it for $3.5 million, and then I went over. But I mean, I said to them straight face, I'm like, "No, I'm going to go over. Yeah, I'm going to use footage. Yeah, you're going to hate me. I'm going to spend more money."
Because once you're there and you're making a movie and everyone's there in costume and you're ready to go, you have the script in front of you, you're actually like, I'm going to save 50 cents. I'm going to save 50 bucks here. It's just like, no way, I'm doing it. And you either get in front of me and physically stop me or I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and still, there's so many things I had to cut. I mean, the script is probably 10 pages of it I couldn't even film. You know, on the day you're making cuts and within each scene you're making cuts and action sequences that should have been bigger were written bigger. You know, you could never do the justice to them that you wanted because just the budget wasn't there. But you make the best out of it and you still make it work and the movie still works, which is what the constraints were hard, but you still make it, still find the things that pop and give it life and you know, that's what you embrace and that's what you, you know, build it around while you're editing and then you forget. There's so many things that I cut that I forget that used to be in it and I don't mention it.
Sweet, man. Kyle, I can't thank you enough for being here. This has been a huge thrill for us to have you here for the whole
thing. Well, thank you, guys. Happy anniversary. And like I said, everyone listening should go spread the word about the Force cast because there's so many Star Wars fans that meet that don't know about it. And when they hear it, they're like, this is great. So, I mean, it's our duty to just spread the word about it and get more people listening. And it's just going to lead to greater things for everyone listening as well, you know?
Wow. That's an endorsement. I appreciate it. We accept.
Yeah, and we're going to record that.
Princess Leia did sense. She sensed who her mother was. But she's talking to Luke.
And the form boards have lit up.
She sensed. Because she speaks, she's almost feeling it in the Force in her head. She's not speaking of tangible memory. She's sensing through it.
Buy that.
That's who she is. She's a Jedi user. She's the one that could sense what was happening with Luke on Cloud City enough to turn around to him. She obviously was implanted in the senses of who her mother was and who she was as a person in her spirit. And that's what she's communicating to Luke.
You know, that probably makes the most sense. We did have some people that, you know, emailed in and said, yeah, you know, this is what it is. There's, you know, Leia is obviously Force sensitive and she's getting these images and these feelings. And it's
her feelings of her mother. You know?
Right.
And the weird thing is when I heard that argument, I never questioned it. I was just like, oh, she's, you know, Force sensitive. And it's, you know, the vestiges of who her mother was kind of implanted on her. She had that connection. She was in the womb for 9 months. She knew who she was, you know? They had a connection. But
it's kind of beautiful when you say
an argument and I question it. Maybe they're right. And I'm like, no, I think she's Force sensitive. But I don't know. Who knows? It's a great debate.
I know one thing. They're not talking about Mrs. Jimmy Smith's. We've had some folks that think that.
I heard that one too. I heard that on the show. And I was like, no, I don't think so.
No, dramatically, that just doesn't hold water. I'm afraid not. This has really been just a thrill. We're going to wrap this show up right now. All right, for those of you listening on the delayed podcast, we are aware that the sound quality is really crappy right now. Well aware of it. But, you know, what can we do? We had to get going. So Kyle was available, and, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah.
The folks demanded it. We went over a little bit, and we apologize that we had to use the talk shoot recording as the backup for the last minute of the show. But fear not. We'll be back with a 2-gig memory card next week.
Demanded by the gods, it is.
we definitely need to step up some of the things we've got dealing here with the Forcecraft and the studios here. But anyway, once again, thanks to Kyle Newman. The movie is Fanboys. It comes out in January. Go to fanboyscontest.com. You only have, as this show goes up on Friday, you only have a matter of hours. But thanks to Mick C., there's a number of you that are going to be reading this at force.net and on the forums at Rebel Scum, saying, you know, it's going to give you time to get over there and get your submission in so you can win a role in the Fanboys movie. Pete, thank you, my friend. Thanks to Jimmy Mack. Getting all the sounds down and Jimmy. Whoa. It's out of control here. We're going crazy. Jimmy, this is for you.
You got a real problem.
So, Kyle, here's what we do. I'm sure you've heard the show enough before. We're going to go kind of in order here. I'll say for the Force cast, it'll go Pete, then you, and then me, right? And then Obi-Wan. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. So if you want to be a part of the show, we do this live Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, courtesy of TalkShoe.com. And you don't even have to be a registered member anymore to call us up. So that's very cool. If you want to email us, podcast at theforce.net. Check us out on our forums at rebelscum.com. Once again, thanks to Official Picks, our sponsor. They make the show happen. For the Force cast, I'm Pete.
I'm Kyle.
There it is. And I'm Jason. And remember,
the Force will be with you always.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of the Force.net LLC unless otherwise indicated.